I'm confusing you then. Is that all right? Are we okay now? All right. A few months ago, one of my friends of many years, Frances, invited me to celebrate my birthday with her and another friend of ours, Christine. They are turning 70 this August, and I'm turning 65, and so this Friday night, was the day we could get the band, and the party happened. But in preparation for party this week, as I was preparing this sermon and preparing for this celebration, I went over to Costco to pick up the cakes that were inscribed. And I noticed that Frances had inscribed on one of the cakes, "In all things, give thanks." In all things, give thanks. Now, it was interesting because when I asked her about this, she was quite insistent. She had been very intentional. She had taken a verse from Thessalonians, Paul's letter to Thessalonians, then she wanted to be sure that the inscription didn't say, "For all things give thanks." What she wanted it to say was, "In all things give thanks." I guess the story goes, as she tells it, that she and Christina were having a conversation several months ago involving a great deal of complaining about old age with its losses and its aches and its pains. Frances has been having a lot of pain trying to keep up with the sports that she loves, and Christine has just lost her sister to a tragic death. And I talked about how tempted they were to just let their 70th birthdays slip by under the radar. Until she came across this verse, and it spoke to her, "In all things give thanks." For it's not for, but in. And she realized she didn't need to give thanks for all things, but since she was in it, she might as well give thanks in the midst of it. So she decided to plan a celebration instead of avoiding or denying what it was and what her reality is. And it was a great party, I must say. I'm still recovering, as I imagine a lot of other people are. We all had fun because she was willing to put herself on the line and say, "I'm in it. Join me." Now, it may just seem like one word. What's the difference between giving thanks for and giving thanks in? Often we list what we have as a means of thanksgiving. I give thanks for my house, thanks for my family, thanks for my health, thanks for this country, thanks for this church, this meal, this job. We give thanks for. And often there are things that we're not grateful for in our lives that don't get listed. This work that we hate, this illness, this conflict in the family, this hurt. These are things we can't give thanks for, but there they are, part of life. What does it mean to give thanks in this house, with this illness, in this family, with this division, in this church, in this hurt, in this country, with this conflict? When we thank God for, it is often one-sided. Giving thanks for what we want and need on our own terms. And I often hear Christians publicly giving this kind of thanks. prayers that aren't so humble, but prayers of thanks for having lots of things. Thanking God for prosperity and security, as if this is the sign of God's favor, that this is the way God blesses us. This is the sign of God's faithfulness to me, that I have a lot of stuff. They're thanking God that they're the haves and not the have-nots. But when we thank God being in, it's thanking God for being present in all things in life. Thanking God for the relationship of steadfast mercy in and through prosperity, but also poverty, strength as well as weakness, gain as well as loss. In all things, we give thanks to God for the relationship that God has with us. This week, at the Thursday morning Bible story, we were re-examining the story of the Israelites in the wilderness, complaining against Moses, wishing at that moment that they had died in slavery instead of being led into the wilderness to experience hunger. They wanted God to provide for them. And God says, I will rain bread from heaven to eat. Go out there and collect enough for each day. But this bread is not exactly what they would have asked for. Yet it begins a new relationship with God. For each and every day as they go out into the desert to collect this manna, this unknown bread, what is it? Each and every day they must trust again that God will provide for them that day. That God is present and ready to sustain them. Now, one person responded to this reading and she said, you know, I've heard this story all my life. But today I hear this as my story. I've just had to leave my home of 30 or more years and move to a smaller residence. I've not been grateful. I've complained a great deal. I loved and took great pride in my independence and being in my own home. But my children convinced me that they care and worry about me, and I could help them by moving, and so I did. And it's not been easy. But now I see that I was holding on to something that was holding me back. I was serving the house, not God. The house became my life. Now I have the freedom to do things I love. I have to trust each day in how God is with me. Because it's all new to me. But strangely enough, I'm being provided for a new community, good food, new things to try. I see this story is my life, that moving to the wilderness starts a new relationship. And this is the movement from giving thanks for to giving thanks in. God was saying to the Israelites, you had your fill of good things. They were part of your slavery. Sure, you ate meat. They were Pharaoh's leftovers. Now you're hungry. And I have something more for you, more satisfying than stuff. I have a purpose for you. You are free to be a people who freely offer their lives for the sake of the world. The wilderness is the place where the Israelites grow to maturity. And maturity happens when, in the spiritual life, when we let go of those things we're holding on to so tightly in order to trust in the spacious and loving relationship with God. The Israelites discovered in their daily trust, they began to depend on God for their daily provision. They had never eaten manna before. They didn't know what to call it. They didn't know what sustained them, and yet surprisingly enough, they were sustained. God with them. God is in it with them. And God takes them to a new way of being. I think this is what Jesus was hinting at when he says to the people in the Gospel of John, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Then he goes on to say, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." I think Jesus is inviting us to focus, that we tend to focus on the for instead of the in, and we miss the meaning and the promise of God present in all things. Jesus is the sign and the seal of God's presence in and through all things. God comes to us as manna, the bread of life. And manna isn't just something we can hold in our hand. It isn't something in particular, though it can be. It is an experience of the living God who comes to meet us as promised in so many ways. It is food, but more than food. It is all that sustains us, such as kindness and community, generosity, and systems that work for us. God is with us, promising to provide for our needs in manna. And God wants us to trust, to keep trusting, to keep growing in trust, to know a God who is steadfast in mercy. And in this knowing, there is freedom. In all things, give thanks. This could be the start of a new relationship. Amen.